sawa tu. Ni sawa tu. One day, when I start flying a flag in my vehicle, thank you, purity, then you'll all be running towards me. No, I'm just kidding. I do hope that you had a blessed week. You know, fear is a terrible thing to have in your life. And the more you focus in your inadequateness, the greater the fear. But the more you reflect on who you are and whose you are, the lesser the fear becomes. It diminishes. So if you focus on the things that are out of your control, you'll be terrified and you'll be fearful. And everything that comes your way will terrify you. But if you focus on the God who is above everything else, then everything diminishes. My challenge to you is that what are you going to focus on? What are you going to focus on? There is no reason for fear, absolutely none. It does not matter your situation. It doesn't matter. There are people who have worse situations than what you're going through, but they don't live in fear. So don't live in fear, church. Do not live in fear. Last week, we concluded with a statement. Everything we have belongs to God. There is nothing we have that is outside of God. We, that's you and I, are only but stewards. Good stewards are always looking for an opportunity to grow. Show me a steward that is not growing, and I'll show you a steward who is not faithful. But show me a steward that is growing, and I'll show you a steward who is faithful. Our text for today will be Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. This is about three slaves. If you have your Bibles, it's okay if you didn't come with them, I'll read for you. Matthew 25, and I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard Version. 14 to 30. The parable of the talents. Spirit of God, we pray that you may open our hearts and that you may open our minds. As we navigate through these scriptures, I pray that, Lord, you will speak to us in a language and in a way that we can understand. Help us to shed off any pride or any spirit that, Lord, will stop us from hearing your voice. Help us to see ourselves in this scripture. Help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. Verse 21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustful slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Verse 24. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. I was fearful. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the banks, and not on my return. And on my return, I would have received that which was mine with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. as the word of God. You've probably heard these parables so many times. And I want you to hear it one more time, in a different way this time. And we'll just navigate through the text so that we can be able to identify ourselves. Where am I among those three slaves? In verse 14, the evangelist says, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them." So there are a couple of things that is happening in this parable. And we'll try to identify those things that are happening so that we can see ourselves, if indeed we can. In other words, what you're being told is that this rich man or these men was separating himself from his wealth and entrusting that wealth to three of his servants. He was separating himself. This is my wealth, but I'm going on a journey. I'm separating myself from this wealth. So now you're going to be the stewards. He made a conscious decision to make these three servants to be stewards. In other words, he promoted them immediately. You are no longer servants. You are now stewards. You are managers of my property. Now, the word property in the Greek translation comes from the two words hupo, ako, which means begin, or what exists, or what pre-exists. In other words, that property that he has, there was nothing after, there was nothing before. That was all he had, which means that if these three gentlemen or gentle ladies, if they decided to plunder that property, that he was done. He was sunk. There was nothing else. He was entrusting his servants with all his household possessions, all that existed under his name. It's a bold thing to do. It's not something that I would do myself. But he knew what he was doing. The second thing we note is that this, the people he's entrusting his property in, which I think is also dangerous, they were his slaves, doulos in Greek, which meant that these doulos, they were bonded slaves. They had no right, they had no capacity of owning any property. So what it would mean is that if they were scandalous people, they can take that property and sell it to other people because they could not own that property. They could sell it, and this man would end up with nothing and enrich themselves in the process. Since they can't transfer property to me, I can still transfer that property because I'm your steward. I can sell that property away. Think for a moment what happened right there. He looks at his slaves, three of them, who have worked for him. Now, the scripture does not tell us how long these slaves had worked for him. But then he promotes them immediately. He promotes them because he is going on a journey somewhere else. And because of that, he says, somebody needs to take care of my property. You three are going to take care of my property. You are no longer slaves. Promotion, pap, you are now stewards. You are now managers. From this point henceforth, you are going to be my fund managers. They could have worked for him for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and it was routine. You know, once you're a born slave, it means that you are born a slave, you live a slave, you'll die a slave. That's the reality. There was no hope. The only hope they had was to be a slave. Let me tell you, friends, God is not man. When God looks at you, when God focuses on you, he sees greatness in you. Because in the beginning, if we can just take a couple of steps backwards to the creation. When God created Adam and Eve, it was not so that they can just be wanderers in the Garden of Eden. He had a purpose. He told me, Adam, this will be your work. And he was given a long list of things to do. And his first duty was go and name the animals. Take care of this land. Now think for a moment that when he's taking care of those trees and as he's taking care of those animals, what is happening to the animals? They are multiplying. When he's taking care of the ground and tilling the ground and putting the leaves together, what is happening to the trees? They are bearing fruit. This man was not an idle person. You are not a useless person. God did not just create somebody to just sit there doing nothing. There is nothing like that. You have a purpose. It does not matter how long you've been doing what you are doing. It doesn't matter. A day is coming when you'll no longer be a bond slave and you'll be a steward. A day is coming when what you have always done continually, hopelessly, not knowing whether you'll ever be anything else, something is going to happen. And there's going to be a turnaround in your life. Because that's who God is. That is who God is. He is going to turn you around and be in a position that you never even imagined that you could be. Where you could be calling yourself your name, wondering, is this really me or am I dreaming? Or you pinch yourself. That day is coming. In verse 15, he says, to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. And to another, he gave 1. And then he quickly adds there, each according to his ability. It's not sio kupendelea. It's not just because that, I like Julius. He's a nice guy. He makes me laugh. He makes me feel good. I'll give him 5. No, according to the ability. So here is a caveat. So you're thinking that God is going to turn things around for you to be a steward. It is going to be according to your ability. So what God has given you right now, the function that you're functioning, the things that you're doing, are you faithful? Because if you are, then God is going to lift you to the next level according to your ability. If you're going to be that person, or you are that person who is always grumbling about this boss or these people or this other, there is no thankfulness in your heart. You are struggling to do the things you're supposed to do. How is God going to elevate you? He will elevate you, but probably with a talent. Probably with a talent. So let's look at this talent. You know, we hear so much about this talent. So what is this talent? So in other scriptures, we hear that a talent is gold, is a coin, or those kind of things. But really, a talent is like is a measurement. Is a measurement of for those who come from where I come from, Netairefe, you know, it's like a debe. So you say that I have a talent of coffee. So that means that, you know, whatever I have, that measurement is equal to 1 debe of coffee or tea, whatever you want to call it. Now, whatever that would be in the contents of that talent would be equal to a day's labor. So today people are earning maybe about $7.45. Is that the minimum wage per hour? So probably then we are saying that if we put the talent in today's value, it would probably be maybe about $54, maybe $55 a day. So each talent, though, whatever would be the value of that talent would be 1 denarii. Now, 1 denarii would be the one which is equal to that day's value. So it would be equal to today's value of maybe $55. Are you still with me? So now keep on adding talents into values into that talent, and in 1 talent stack up to 6,000 denarii. So 6,000 denarii. Equals 1 talent. 6,000 denarii equals to 1 denarii. So how many dollars are those? The mathematicians. Where is Wanganga? I had it somewhere. It's something like about 1 million something. So that would be like 330,000. So if one steward was given 5 talents, in actual facts, he was actually made a manager of $1.65 million today, in today's value. So you're with me. So this guy was making a big mistake. I mean, Pastor, do you have $1.65 million I can manage for you? You know, you'd even look at Julius, do you manage for me? Okay, let's think about it. But the master also knew that, you know, even though this was the values that he had for these talents, he looked at his servants, the people that he had promoted to be stewards, and he knew that these people, I can trust them. I can trust these people. I have seen them, they have worked for me, I can depend on them. The second thing that he did is that he knew how to distribute responsibility. He knew that if I give Francis 5 talents, he's going to have a problem. I'm going to give Francis 2. I'm going to give Jimmy 5. And I'm going to give Julius 1. Because that's according to their ability. Because if he reversed that, then he knew that these people will not be able to manage. Now, obviously now, these are 3 people. They've worked together. They've always been there together. So these are human beings. So think for a moment. You know, so they'll start looking at each other and saying, why is this guy being given 5, to be a manager? And I'm the one who shows him work. this guy doesn't understand anything. I'm the one, from the time he was employed, I'm the one who's been working with him. Let me tell you, God is not man. He does not look at things the way you look at things. He looks at them differently. Don't feel jealous if you're the person who has got that one talent. Don't feel jealous over the person who was given five talents, because you don't know why. You don't know what the expectations are of that person. Now let's go to verse 16. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. And then in 17, so also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. So these two people, they were on target. They knew what to do. Give me these talents, I got to put them to work. I've got to put them to work. It's not mine, it's for the master, but I've got to put it to work. That's what the master gave me these talents for, to put them to work. The key word to note here is work. Put them to work. Put them to work. What you put to work, whatever you put to work, grows. Whatever you put to work, it grows. Whatever you don't put to work, naturally, it does not grow. I mean, you know what you're talking about. So you earn $100, you take that $100 and you just go and put it in your, leave it in your purse. At the end of the month, all that you have is a crumpled $100 note. But take that $100 note and put it in the stock market, you know, buy Bank of America shares at $23 each, buy about maybe 4.5 of them, and then at the end of the month when you go there, you find that they're no longer worth 23, they're actually worth $32 each. There is growth because you put that dollar to work for you. Are you still with me? Sounds like I was speaking Greek. In verse 19, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Now, you remember we talked about settling accounts, you know, here. So settling accounts is basically come, you know, I gave you responsibility. Come and account for what the responsibility I gave you. Come and account for it. So there was that time of reconciliation. Let's see, what did you do? So I took this, I sold this, I took this here, I did this, and that kind of a thing. Now, one challenge that we have in the Greek language or in the Greek translation is that as we read the scripture, you know, put more thought into the translations, and probably you ask yourself, why do we have different translations, or why is it that some words are referred to differently in one text as opposed to the other text? So in places you see that an individual is referred to as a servant, in another place is referred to as a slave, and all these are different words. So what used to happen in the language that is being used in the original Greek language is not the Greek language, is not the refined Greek language, is not the grammatically correct Greek language. It's like the Sheng of Greek. It's a street Greek language. They call it the Koneo Greek. So that, you know, so the translators are looking at the words and trying to bring the nearest meaning to what these guys were talking about, because that's the language that was commonly spoken in the streets. So one word could mean something to somebody else, but when spoken to somebody else, it could mean something totally different. So there's, you know, that removes the issue of maybe a conflict in the languages or as we may view it. But when this man comes home, when this guy returns after a long time, and long is relative, because long could be 1 year, long could be 2 years, long could be 3 years. The scripture just tells us after a long time, the owner of the household comes home. And when he comes, he says, account for the talents that I gave you. But before we even get to that point, travel with me to these two gentlemen. Or ladies, we don't even know their gender. But let's look at these two individuals on what they did. That the first one took the five talents and immediately went and traded with those five talents, and he or she got 100% growth. From five, got five. 100% growth. The second one took the two, did not complain, did not say, why was I only given two? Took the two, traded the two, and got 100% growth. From two, got two others. And you ask yourselves, or we ask ourselves, if this market is so good that if I put two, I get another two. What if I put in the four? What would I have gotten back? Or if I put in the five and I got the five, what if I put the 10? What would I have gotten in return? See, church, what I'm trying to say is this. There is growth when you put your talents to work. Don't sit on them. You put them to work. When you put them to work, there is growth. Something comes out of it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it is, the market doesn't matter whether it's going to be 5 talents or 6 talents or 3 talents or 1 talent. All that you know, the scripture is telling us that there was 100% growth. 100% growth. But remember, when this owner of the household gave them the talents, there is nowhere where it was listed, I want growth. Nowhere. He just say, you are now a steward. Manage these talents. So that in a way, if these stewards just came back and brought like maybe a 0.5 growth, the owner would have been happy. He would have been satisfied. But these guys decided, we are going to go to the best market. We are going to invest this money in the best way possible so that we can get the best yield. See, it's like a farmer. So a farmer goes and prepares the land to go and plant the seeds and puts the seeds, all the seeds that he has, you know, or that he wants to plant with an expectation. But guaranteed, he's going to get more than he put in. Guaranteed. Yeah. Whatever seed, if you put one grain of seed, of maize, maybe, corn, when it comes out, it will give you a cob. And that cob, maybe there'll be maybe 20 or 30 if it was a bad cob. But it's still more than 100%. It's still more than 100%. What am I trying to say? I am trying to say that those talents need to be put to work. There were no expectations. The property manager did not give any expectations. He never told them that I wanted to go and invest. All that he said, take care of my property. In Genesis chapter 30, verses 37 to 40, there is Jacob. If you remember Jacob. So Jacob goes and he's going to look for his relative, and he goes to his uncle's place, Laban. But then he has stayed with Laban for 7 years. He's married Rachel. He's married Leah 14 years. Now it's time for him to go. So he tells his uncle Laban, Laban, now I need to go. Now I have 2 wives. I have children. Now please let me go. But Laban would not hear of it. He says, Apana, you know, I want you to stay. Do you know why this Laban was refusing for his nephew to go? Because Laban was blessed with investing. Because when Laban took care of the sheep were multiplying like crazy. He was taking care of his uncle's property. And they were just giving birth. And the story is, you know, takes a different tangent. But the reality is that the wealth that Jacob got was because of his ability to take care of his uncle's property. He had nothing. When he went to Laban, he didn't go with the sheep. He had nothing. But when he left that place, he had so much wealth to take care of his 2 wives and his children. Faithfulness, being a good steward. Being a good steward. Went with nothing, but left that place with so much wealth. He's such an excellent example of a good steward. In verse 18, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. There was only one reason why he did that. And we've alluded to that today several times. F-E-E-A-R. Fear. Fear. I know this boss. I know this boss. If something happens and that talent is not there, oh my goodness. He focused on external factors. He focused on the boss. He did not focus on his ability. He did not focus on what he was able to do. He focused, and the fear was so real, because it was like, if I lost this talent, I have no way of accounting myself before this man anymore. I'll be in dismay. There is nothing else that I can be able to do. He feared his integrity. He feared his personality. What will people say about me? That's not a talent him, he cannot even be able to take care of it. What kind of a man is this? He feared that he'll be a man of bad repute. And because of that fear, because of the fear that he had, he traded his position of being a good steward. He traded his position of being a good steward. Imagine if he was a good steward and just put that one talent where the others were putting them and said, okay, I'll just do, that's the least I can do. You'd at least have got another one. But he feared. See, he overlooked the fact that the same way that the others were trusted with 5 talents, 3 talents, 2 or 2 talents, and him with 1 talent, is the same trust that had been distributed. It was the same trust. The fact that you've been trusted with 5 talents doesn't make that you be more trusted. It's the same way that I've been trusted. So the same way that you've been trusted with responsibilities, wherever you're working, is the same responsibility, the same trust I've been given, wherever I am working, whatever I'm doing, or whatever giftings that I have, is the same thing that God has entrusted upon us. The question is, what are you doing with your talent? All that you needed to do is to take that talent, shy off from all kind of fears, and decide, you know what, I'm going to do it. If it happens, I'll just go and tell him, you know what, I thought this was the best deal. It turned out not to be the best deal. So even if he was going to be kicked out, he says, you know, it was still for the good purpose. I was trying my best for my boss. But this was not for his boss. He was doing it for himself because of fear. He was fearing that I can't succeed. He feared I can never make it. He feared I will lose this talent. I'm going to get in trouble. So to save myself, I'm going to hide this thing so that when he comes back, I'll go and undig it and give him the same thing that he gave me. He feared. So what is making you fear today? And you have nothing of your own. Nothing. Everything you have is God-given. It has God's initials somewhere there. God. So what is it you fear? What is the worst possible thing that can happen to you? God still got your back. It doesn't matter that you make mistakes. It doesn't matter that you goof. It doesn't matter that you lose. He is still the source of all these things. He's still the originator. He's still the originator. He's trying to challenge you. Let go. Let go. Allow me to do something in your life. But this man would not. He looked at man and he said, oh my goodness, this guy. I know this guy. He's terrible. He's going to be bad. He was so afraid. In the end, when his boss came, the return on that talent was 0. He didn't lose a thing. But there was no growth. There was no growth. It was 0. Show me a person who is faithful in little. And I'll show you somebody who is going to be given a talent, an additional talent, and is going to be faithful in much. See, I'd like to help us be delivered from this notion that God, that you've been given talents or things that we are not able to use. I'd like us to be delivered from this notion of feeling that we are not able, or we are just a collection of inabilities. You know, people who have got talents that cannot even be able to use it. People who have got giftings. Like today, I'm looking at people who are talented in multiple ways. If all of us in this church today were to use that just one talent that God has given us, it will yield 100%. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about the talents. You know how God has gifted you. If we use that gift faithfully, it will yield another talent. Maybe through somebody else. Maybe through growth. But there will be growth in this church. There will be growth in your life. But because we don't, so what happens? We just remain with that one talent. We just remain with that talent. We are not purposeless. We are not purposeless. God did not just fill this earth with people who are no purpose. You know, that you just keep on filling the earth and messing the earth and cutting trees or, you know, like aimlessly. I don't think that is how God meant it to be. If we are to follow right from the story that we started from creation, there is a purpose. You and I are people on a mission. We are people with a purpose. There is something that God wants you to fulfill. Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you a good steward? Those are the questions that I want to challenge with you today. So there's this father. He's trying to concentrate in reading his newspaper for the day, trying to separate the good news or the real news from the fake news. And so he's trying to concentrate, but his little girl is messing him around and trying to, you know, to distract him. The little girl wants attention. And so what this guy does is that he cuts a piece of that Daily Standard or Daily Paper or Dallas Sunday News or whatever it is. He cuts a portion of it and cuts it into several pieces and gives the daughter, says, you know, take that, you know, make that map again. There was a map that was there. So he was trying to keep his daughter busy. Go and show me that map when you're done. And so he goes back to reading his newspaper and drinking his coffee. After about 20 minutes, this girl comes back with that map clearly in place. Clearly in place. Everything the way it's supposed to be. And he looks at her in surprise and says, how did you do this? He says, oh, well, the other side. He says, no, he was asking about the map. And says, what map? I says, the map I asked you to bring together. He says, I didn't see any map. I was trying to put the face of Jesus together. Because the other side of the map, there was the face of Jesus. So all this girl had to do was to try and put the face of Jesus together. In the process, the map came into place. Sometimes we are focusing on the wrong things. We are focusing on the things that we think we are protecting ourselves from. But in reality, those are the things that are bringing us down. If we focus on the purpose that God has called us for, to know that he has our back. What does the Bible say about people falling 7 times? He will lift you up. From every fall, he will raise you up again. So the fear is not in the falling. The delight is that when you fall, he will lift you up. It is not, the challenge is not that, you know, if I do this, I'm going to fail, Pastor. But if I fail, he will lift me up. To know that you're not alone. To know that you're not in this journey alone. But that he is going through this journey with you. Do you know why you cannot be trusted with more? Maybe you're so engrossed with your opinion of your master than yourself. You're focusing more on what this man is going to do. And yet he, that person, he is not God. The beginning and the end does not belong to that person you're talking about. How about if you feared God the same way that you fear these men? Where would you be? You'd be so far because you'd be unlimited. You'd be saying, I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. Give me a challenge. I'm ready to do it. But now we can't. Because I'm fearing, oh, no, no, no. What will Pastor Tony say? What will my boss say? What if this happens? I just wonder for a moment, what if Jacob chose not to do or not to be faithful to Laban? What if he was never faithful? What if he decided that he'll be taking for every 2 sheep that are born, he'll be taking one? Would the eventual blessing have reached him? I doubt it. It was because of his faithfulness. So church, good stewards look beyond themselves. For you and I to be good stewards, we need to look beyond ourselves. We need to not focus on what people think about us, but think about what does God think about me. The second thing, good stewards are proud of the milestones that they make for the household owner. In the process of those milestones, they too are risen up. In the process of those milestones, God also raises you up. So the problem with us humans is that we keep looking at people as if, you know, in another language they say that we will go back. You know, so that, you know, so I will never go beyond here because I'm your slave. But these people, they were slaves. They were slaves, but they were promoted from being slaves to managers, fund managers. But then on top of that, when they traded with those talents that they were given, and they came double. This guy was even so happy, he said, you'll not even be living outside there. You'll come and live with me. So they kept on being blessed. They kept on being blessed because they were faithful. The focus is not on the manager. The focus is not in what I am able to do. Good stewards do not reflect on themselves. They focus on the bigger picture. What am I able to do? So friend, you may be the least of all the people that you know. When men or women, your age mates or your peers meet and you're discussing, you're probably the lowest, and maybe your points are the ones which are of least value. But let me tell you, when God created you, he had a purpose for you. He had a purpose for you. None of us are going to remain as bond slaves. God is determined because of our faithfulness. So if you're working as a bond slave, If you're working in a place whereby everything is still repetitive, it's like in a meat grinding factory. All that you're doing is taking that chunk of meat, putting in the machine, and then just keep on, turning in the machine, taking the chunk of meat and putting in the meat grinding, and just doing. And you do that the whole day. If that is what you're doing, do it so well. Do it so well that your managers would say, "I have never seen such a good meat grinder." Martin Luther King said that, if your work is to sweep the streets of Chicago, sweep so well so that the angels in heaven will look down and say, "What a great sweeper there is." And in you being such a good sweeper, being faithful in that broom and removing the dust on the roads, you become a good steward. And when you become a good steward, people start wondering, is this the same person? Is this the same sweeper in the streets of Chicago? Is this the same person? Because you are so faithful that God has elevated you. Show me a person who is not faithful in their work, who is being promoted. Anybody? I don't think there is any. God cannot place in your hands what you cannot use. He cannot give you a talent that you cannot use. So I want to remove this myth from saying, you know, me, I'm talentless. Me, I was just made like this, I can't do this. I'm just there. It's not true. It is untrue. The worst untruth. Each one of you, there is something that God planted in you. So dynamic that it is only you who can use it. It's only you who can use it. And if you dare use it, you are going to grow not just spiritually, you're going to grow even your own self. Even your own self, you're going to grow. But if you hold it, you'll never go beyond where you are. I'm not going to ask how many of us are in the same spot, how many of us have been drilling the same hole and wondering, why am I drilling this hole? I will not ask that question. But think about it. Perhaps it's time to ask yourself, what is my purpose? What is it that I do? Or what I do? How faithful am I in what I do? How faithful am I? Think for a moment. God placed 5 stones in the hands of David. But David just used one stone, to bring Goliath down. Just one stone. But he gave him 5. Didn't use the whole 5. Just one stone. Think about this. Samson was given a donkey's jawbone. A donkey's jawbone, not even a cow's jawbone. One jawbone. And he killed or destroyed more people in his last day than he had ever done the whole of his life. One jawbone. That's what I say, Mani. Give me your defense. You are capable beyond measure. Let nobody tell you that you're unable. Let nobody look down upon you. You know what? Right now, I may be a bond slave. Right now, I may be a bond slave. But I know my day is coming. Because I am faithful in what I'm doing. Because I am true to what I'm doing. My day is coming to be a steward. Praise the name of Jesus. Let nobody look down upon you. God is not done with us yet. If he was, we'd not be in this earth today. We'd not be in ECC today. We would have been up there with him. But there is still a purpose that God wants you to accomplish. There's still a purpose that he wants you to accomplish. My challenge for you, my question for you today, beloved, will you? Shall you? Are you willing to get out of your comfort box, your comfort zone, and tell yourself, that thing I've always been telling myself, I can't do it, I am going to do it. If I fail, I fail. If I succeed, I succeed. It's all to the glory of God. Praise the name of Jesus. It's all to the glory of God. It's all to the glory of God. In the end, you, I, that talent, all of us belong to God. I would rather die trying than die not having known what my potential is. So I'm challenging you. Men and women of God, there is something that God has placed in your life. Something that God has placed in your life. I'm challenging you. Do something about it. Don't just say, I can't. You've not even tried. So what if you fail? So what if you don't get 100% growth? At least you tried. At least you tried. Are you still with me, church? I just want to repeat and say that God did not create us to be just bodies, space-filling, useless bodies. That all that we do, Pastor, is just come and fill this church, you know, just bodies filling this church of doing nothing. Useless bodies, you know, just eating and going to the bathroom, and that's all that we are here for. I believe that there is a purpose for each one of us. There is. I am so convinced about this. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the language that you speak. It doesn't matter your skin pigmentation. It doesn't matter your sexuality. It doesn't matter your gender. It matters that you are a child of God, God's creation, and He puts in you a talent, and He knows you can do it. So as I finish, I just want to ask you to have a reflection with me. A collector of rare books ran into an old friend of his. And in the conversation, this friend of his told me, you know, I was cleaning up my house and, you know, there was this old Bible. I think I got it from my grandfather. And it was in an old box, but, I just wanted my house to be clean. So I just opened this and, you know, to see what kind of a Bible it was. And, you know, honestly, I have never seen such an old Bible. You know, written Gute something. I just took it in the box and I went and trashed it. And this collector asked him, what name was that? Do you remember the spelling? Gutenberg? He said, yes, that was the name. That was the name. This collector was like, you idiot. That book that you threw away, it was a rare Bible that was written. Recently, they were sold in an auction for $250,000. I said, oh, no. I don't think they would have paid that much for this kind of a Bible. No, this one was an old one. There was actually inside the Bible, there were markings by somebody, Martin Luther. You may be holding a talent in your life that is worth so much, but would you know if you don't use it? Let's stand up, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you that when you created us for a purpose. And that each one of us has a purpose. There is something that you want us to accomplish before we leave the face of this earth. We are not useless bodies. We are not just bodies that you created to fill the earth. There is a distinct purpose for each one of us. Help us, Lord, because often we forget. We forget that we have a purpose. And we look at other people as they fail and as they struggle, and we wonder whether we are going to be like them. But remind us again that each one of us has a purpose to accomplish in this earth. We refuse every form of fear, the fear that comes to expand the things that are external to us, and we diminish ourselves, forgetting that, God, we belong to you. Revive us again. Revive our hearts again, O Lord. We want to be good stewards. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful to what you've given us. No matter how little, we want to be faithful in that little. That God, even though we may struggle in where we are and there is too much month to the money that we get, but I'm praying that God, you may help us and walk with us, that in the end we can say that one time I was, but look at me now, because God, you are true. And so I'm praying, Lord, to every hearer of this prayer today, that God, you may stir our hearts. Stir my heart as well. That thing that I've always felt that is a gift, I need to use it. That I should not be afraid. Because God, it has your hand in it. And as you bless me, you'll bless me 100-fold. And I'll be a blessing to other people as well. Just for a moment, I'll just challenge you to just look at your life. What is that talent that God has given you? What is the talent that God has given you? Maybe some of you have used it and you've seen the growth. Maybe you need to look a little harder if you think you have no talent. But I believe deep down in my heart, each one of us, there is a talent. Some may be having one. Some may be two. Some three. Maybe some have even five of them. But are you using those talents? I dare you to leave your comfort zone and use those talents. And you'll go beyond regions you never even thought or even imagined. Heavenly Father, forgive us where we have not dared to believe you. Forgive us, Lord, where we have not used these talents. And we pray that, God, you may show us, direct us, stir our spirits up, that, God, we may serve you with these talents that you've given us. That this will be the year that we can look back and say, I dared where nobody else would. I did what I thought I would never be able to do. Look at what the Lord has done in my life. And all glory and all honor will come back to you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.